staggering figure there of 320% of transfer subsidies to prevention packages definition, which is affecting the, you know, when you do a once off packaging of, as part of our trying to trim down on the LRP. We have had to honor the packages that those who are volunteering to get out of the system during the third quarter in under review. So the overall expenditure is as it was shown at 73% or 388.8 million, and then even if we were only going to assume our tenure executive council from January. Therefore, in the fourth quarter, there could be much more expenditure as a result of the fact that it would be now after we have assumed our tenure as member of the UN Security Council. Program 4 is made up of two sub-programs, State Protocol and Public Diplomacy, which is our, what we can call our professional areas of work. And here, it is one program, but it is spent as separate sub-programs. Public Diplomacy, the spend of from the budget of 94 million was 71%, and State Protocol was 85 above the norm. And if honorable members remember the presentation earlier, we've had a number of high level visits, and which could be an achievement on the other side, but also a cost driver on the other, because then it involves the professional support in the form of the protocol and etiquette services that we have to honor. And then when we look at the economic classification, compensation of employees will consistently be either on the mark as it is or is higher. But in this case, in respect of the two sub-programs, is 71.7 and 85.9 respectively, still above the norm of 75%. And when you take it cumulatively, it shows the earlier reference on compensation of employees, that we are above the ceiling that Treasury has set for us, with warm bodies to the present day. There is no way we can avoid it because we cannot defend. Program 5, I'm sorry, yes, Program 5 is our international transfer studies, membership, and other related fees that are true from us as a country, our obligations. So the as at 31st December, we were at 66.9% of the allocation of 739 million, and we know that in this quarter that we are, we should be able to honor our commitment to the UN, which with those amounts, 8 million for UN, 20 million for humanitarian aid, IPSA 16 million, and African Caribbean ACP 7.5 million. All this expenditure is what we project for this remainder of the program. And therefore, the 66% which could look understanding.
pursue advisory committee so we have exceeded the actual target that was set. And the next indicator is on percentage of requests received. So the target is to reduce, the advisory committee must review all the requests that they've received. So in quarter three, 2 requests were received and 2 requests were reviewed. And moving on to the third indicator, which is percentage of approved requests processed. This indicator means that whatever that was approved needs to be processed for payment. And it's split according to different objectives according to the Act. Firstly, under the democracy and good governance, we have processed 657,000 on the South African intervention and contribution to the Kingdom of the Coast. And we have further processed 86,000 for the observer nations for the environment and the moving into the next objective, I will just focus on the objectives where the disbursement is made. On the humanitarian assistance, we have processed 3.5 million on the drought relief project for Namibia, which is that one of boreholes in Namibia. And we have processed 9.3 million for the emergency humanitarian assistance of the Sahrawi refugees. And moving on to the objective for capacity building, we have processed 1.7 million on capacity building, which is a project on African environment. Moving into the next slide, the post-conflict review process, anything, there was no payment approved. And the next indicator refers to percentage of quarterly project progress report. So out of our 25 projects, we need to produce progress report quarterly, and we have produced 25 progress reports for each and every project. Now I'll be taking you through to the ARS financial report. For the current financial year, we have annual allocation from National Treasury of 38.6 million. And we have further received interest, which is on our reserve bank account, which is influenced by the balance. And a little bit of interest there was also accrued on the loan that we actually granted to Cuba, which brings us down to our total revenue of 98 million. And we have approved grants, which is new projects that were conquered in the third quarter for 24 million. And we have forex loss, which is influenced by, there were 2 projects that were committed in foreign currency. So every year, every quarter when we do our reporting, depending on the status of the rand, we have to convert and see whether we've made a loss or a gain. So our loss as of December because of the weakening of the rand was that of 33 million, which brings us down to the surplus as of 31st December of 40 million. moving on, the cash in the bank, we have 830.
message, I think it was last year, where the president mentioned that we have 20 visa-free countries that would take place. And those talks are not, no one seems to be very clear on when this was going to happen or how it was going to happen. And I was hoping we'd be able to see something in the report in terms of high-level engagement, also with regard to our own, whatever our president has promised, that our department would be following suit. Could I get a fair idea as to when this is going to take place, when these 20 countries are going to be able to enter into this agreement? I also note with concern, I'm not sure whether this fell into the third quarter, but the Ubuntu Awards were cancelled at the last minute, and I'd be interested to see when the embassies were actually informed about the cancellation. I know that in the few engagements that I had, it was late notice, and it actually was more an embarrassment to do so, as a lot of embassies had made plans to be here to support the dinner, but we're not actually, as I said, it was cancelled at last minute. And then, just if I may, just ask the question now, but expect the answer afterwards. We go to the ARF. I'm very curious.
On second thought, I realize that it might too good for responses, but as long as you say it, please is that a good idea, then you can say that. Yeah. I was thought I could speak to one.
Okay, so for the second input, just for the second report, I'm quite interested to know exactly why we were asked for $300 million from our budget, from the Treasury.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I firstly would like to endorse your comments about the fruitful interaction that we had 2 weeks ago at the headquarters. Certain things that I felt that I wish we had had more time, because we were trying to stick to a program, but nonetheless it was more My first question is on the ARDF. Are those 25 projects that referred to, is it somewhere listed? Is it in your annual report? Or can, I don't see an annex attached to this so that I don't know what the projects are. And then, given that we're coming to the end of the financial year soon, I hear that we have a commitment for some projects. Is there a possibility of a rollover and us losing that funding that is committed? I know when you commit, you don't lose the funding, but I just thought I would raise that. So on the third quarter report on slide 5, we're looking at 22 specialized training programs and 23 generic skills. What are these skills and what is the training and who was it directed at? What level of employees? On page 10, slide 10, 14 tourism promotion events. Now, obviously it's done in conjunction with other ministries, but I can't see why the budget of DIRCO should be going into tourism promotion. Surely that should remain within the domain of the Ministry of Tourism. Finding my pages. Okay. Page 22, citizens industry. address whereabouts mortal remains, that section, do you have the outcome of the postmortem of the of Hanukkah, the businessman? I would like to know about that. And then what assistance was given to the young people that went on a holiday and drowned there? I found the comments by one of the premiers most interesting, that he was going to ask the president to intervene in terms of asking Mozambique to declare certain areas dangerous and put lifeguards there and all that. I didn't think that was in the domain of the president. Slide 30. 13 missions did not interface during December. Why? What are the reasons? And then slide 32, the Security Council expenditure has not been factored in. It was not a surprise that we were going to get the seat, so why wasn't there anticipation on the budget? And then does the presidential budget also perhaps be used for some of the stuff there? But I just found it quite surprising that expenditure was not factored in. With regard to, I forget which page that is, but with regard to the New York mission, are you now saying the current project is abandoned? It is now the subject of a court case, and we are setting aside a new amount of $63 million. How are we going to kind of show the loss? 35, membership contribution. I don't see the Pan-African Parliament contribution. Thank you for
on slide 21, program 4.2, on strategic engagement, health and diplomatic regular costs in support of facilitating diplomatic immunity and civilization. To whom? Just consular services, where was it given to? Which country? Okay. And then I was looking at slide number 30. Slide number 30. The transfers. The bullet 1, 2, 3, transfer and subsidies are at 136.6%. That is too high. Is it not going to affect the report? And then have you already spoken to the Auditor General? It's not going to be a negative report to you, because you can see that really you have exceeded the number there. So what are you doing with that? Because now you're going to get a bad report from the Auditor General. And $33 million on the forex loss. Is it not just too much? How can we avoid this loss? This $33 million especially from the, what is it, from the African Romantic. I'm looking a bit worried. That 33 million could have done something here in South Africa. What? How can we really avoid such? Yes, we know that we are competing with other foreign countries, with our foreign money. But I'm just asking myself, what can we really do to avoid such things happening? Packages and all that. For me, then, if you're a volunteer, do you also qualify for that, or it depends on the terms of their volunteerism, as it were, in terms of the contract? Because for me, it's a little bit abnormal in terms of that. But it's a very understanding of the volunteer, because it's a contract for a certain period of time. That would be on ARF. Do we have any tracking mechanism or system to ensure that the spending or the budget or the funds going to these countries do reach the intended beneficiaries and actual projects? Are there any tracking systems? Because there must be that, so that we can very ready to say that this was the agreement and this is what has happened. Probably let me go back, which I couldn't understand, which Honorable Helen raised also, the December period, synergizing in terms of that. DG, if you may also say, are there any intentions to ensure those missions are similar or they also administratively also give you information during December? Because I don't think the intention to say in December that we close the shop. Because the administration is not close, but I just have to understand, and also the danger of that. Let's say for any argument, the CFO responsible or the financial manager then decides to leave or anything, then we are going to have problems to get that information moving forward. Noting that our IT system is not up to scratch in terms of communicating to each other. Other than that, Chair.
Thank you, Madam. Our brief from your comments.
Thank you for the supervision. I think I said be the one that is in prison. You can cast as the ego. On the issue of the security council, I'm not sure whether this is that is not yet been affected. Will this not affect the Auditor General's opinion, Auditor General's opinion, report? Simply, it is still not settled in the report. And lastly, I think Honorable Candidate asked the question of the issue of regulation in this universe. I'm going to ask it. Lastly, on ARF, if you are talking verbally about this, million, I don't know what if you can elaborate more, because I couldn't I couldn't take it up what does that mean? Because it is not there on the support. If you can just elaborate on the 12 million expenditure.
Thank you. for the class spin-off was that they have joined the SADC, and I'm serving with them in the SADC parliament as well, which is actually good. There are comments that South Africa creates conditions of peace when others go and fish. I'm just saying the politics of this thing are not all right, and the same thing will catch up with us in Iowa, but it's not an issue for now. But the same thing must be discussed. When we discuss the Iowa, we must know who's going to deal with the marine resources, who's going to deal with the sack, who must benefit. The shipbuilding is understood or produced by the African Agenda 2063. All of the things there that we must put in must not allow other people to be the players, or we become the players. Now, I'm not going to be able to say it in English, unfortunately. When it is dry, countries in fact behave like human beings, because countries are not the earth, they are made up of, they have a certain level of selfishness. Isn't that? I'm not talking about greed, I'm talking about that national interest must be served. So, in this case, there must be that discussion by the department, even if we have it as an only item political, so that parliament and the department find one another. I have more questions as well. For strategic reasons. We can never allow anyone to play around with us because of the water resources. It keeps our talent. So we always ask it. So there must be that discussion. Oh, yes. I also earlier on said, I think it was in the other presentation, just to help us about these currencies. Sometimes the way they are written, on financial things, I'm a bit illiterate. I see the dollar in the euro. Mm-hmm. The other, different country are different. And back to the African market, I'm not sure if it is possible either to be recommended by the portfolio committee or the department itself. If you have money like this, 209, lying fallow, with the possibility that by the end of the financial year, it may not be utilized. Can the department apply to Treasury to use it for the compensation of the employees? I don't know.
Very specific towns where we could generate some good money. I
Because I'm looking for trouble. Back to page 5. When you say 22 training programs, where 22 were met, because that's where you get to 100% the other side. How did you arrive at 22 or 25? It is not that the targets were deliberately put low so that you can meet the target. Where are they supposed to be? The question is fair and unfair, but like your international conferences, you must have a target or others are imposed, like other countries are required. No, let's take it to South Africa. But the budgetary implications and all of those things. So that you are able to measure the department properly. Yeah, this one I also looked at on page 12. I think that achievement on global governance. That's page 3, international cooperation, global governance, fixing that by fixing at 3, and this other one also on the south-south. I think I agree with that. Except that I was going to ask a question, a political question, whether when we say global governance, we somewhere, the central matter, the core group on tourism was established to advance cooperation in this area. Who are the departments? Who are the departments that constitute this core group? Well, the topic then is the IORA Council of Ministers meeting. I assume it's Ministers of Foreign Affairs. But if you are including other ministers, like economic development, tourism, small business, trade and industry, all those who must have a role to play in the various aspects of IORA, then you say it's a IORA Council of Ministers. Which specific ministers? Because once you bring in the outfit that I've referred to, it's kind of a cluster. And I would have preferred it that way, because you need a multi-stakeholder approach to this. Diplomacy, the department, you have said it is doing very well. The only thing that was raised the other day when we were there, we were saying, just find a way, because you know it will be to take it to the ordinary citizens, take it to the radio stations, and in the language of the limitation of fullness. It's nice to be educated like ourselves, and sometimes we take it seriously for granted. But some for local mistakes, you can say, and reveal a little one time. No move and a little shuate, but the malamle. They may not hear us with the same one who is to and say in their name. I did refer to this to the head of the diplomacy who. Your official there in the department.
Monyela.
Yeah, I said you're doing very well, but only in India. Yet this thing also gets into our people in the language. Thank you very much from my side. Honorable reporter, you want to come in? Your hand is not up. You just imagine you can make comments if you want to, so that you allow the department to come in. It seems we're going to finish in good time. For you. By the way, let's give you that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I had two more questions to ask. One was the AU, the decisions taken at the AU summit. What is the financial implication, if any, of those decisions that were taken? And then, was there any discussion about the African passport at the AU? Thank you.
I also have one question for the Chairperson, and just the issue of the ordinary court on tourism. My question was also on case on the subject of the IORA and the outcomes of the launch of the Mandela Legacy Intensive Program. I'm concerned about this because I think only 21 member states which are in that situation. Now, if you say you're talking about Africa worldwide, are there some other African countries, as much as I know that South Africa has the chair of that area? But I'm concerned because I want to check if this intensive program is
benefit the African citizens.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, good morning. I will try not just to answer the questions related to training and development, but also some of the questions that I think that I can address. If I start with, I think Honorable Kanye was asking, this reflects training versus genetic training. To say, when honorable members were there, they would have seen that you have the Diplomatic Academy, but you also have corporate management, which is led by Mr. Govinda. In corporate management, you have a section that deals with human resources development. Now, that's the section that you find in any other organization, in any other department. So that's what we call generic. So they will provide generic training, and then you can elaborate on the kind of programs that they offer there. But in terms of specialized training, that is all the training that takes place within the academy, and it is for all levels. And so we call it foreign service training. And for foreign service training, we start at a very low level. If you look at people that get deployed as foreign affairs attachés, it starts from level 5 all the way to the top, which is a HSOC mission orientation program or HSOC mission preparation program. So that's for all, and in between you will have the diplomatic training, you have the corporate business management training, but it is all for foreign service, and it is specific in that way. And it covers all levels. And similarly, the generic also covers all levels, but Kenny will elaborate on that. So, Honorable Makale, that's what we mean by generic, which is HRP that you find anywhere, and specialized, which is all those programs that take place at the academy. And some of them are very specialized, like WTA, International Trade Time Meeting, etc., etc. And if you want a list of some of those programs, some of those training tools that are specialized, I can give you a sense of those, especially those that we have provided in terms of our economic diplomacy strategy, because we set that up to include basic programs, to programs that were targeted for our heads of mission, to programs that were targeted for how do you do market analysis if you go to another country. Then there was a question again from you, Honorable Kali, about tourism projects. That surely this
Kalian.
Sorry, that surely that cannot come from the budget. In the APP of a specific nation, let's say Germany, for instance. So in the APP of our mission in Germany and the ambassador, you find that under economic diplomacy, that they have planned events around promoting South Africa as a destination, a choice of destination. And that's how you end up, and for that, if you're going to have an event that promotes South Africa as a holiday destination, you would have to allocate funds for that. And in that, you are also able to invite tourism to come and join you and to come and bring resources for you, whether it's technical resources or marketing experience and so forth. So that's how it ends up being on our APP. Honorable Rapkosi around the 133% in terms of transfers and subsidies? Isn't it too high? How would it affect the budget? And have you started engaging with the Treasury and the AGs? The issue, Honorable Rapkosi, about subsidies and transfers is that, yeah, there. If you said you contribute, was the AU and this is the amount, or was the UNC you have to contribute? And if it means you go above that, you go above that. The DG, and maybe I should have left it for the DG, because he has been engaging with National Treasury in particular to look at that amount and to see if that amount can be increased. Mm-hmm. At some point they did increase, but it is what it is. So National Treasury, AG, the Audit Committee are all aware that this is not a matter of where you can control it by saying I spend less, or, but those are commitments that we have made in contracts and we have to do. And DG consistently consulting with those bodies around that. Programs every year, have achieved 22. To start off with, how do you set that target? What really informs that target? To arrive at that 22, you should have looked at the entire year and how do you spread the program throughout the entire year, and at what point do you increase and which courses do you provide at a particular period. So it's not just a thumb suck of saying 22. You know that for the entire year, you have two transfer cycles. So you know that you need to run three programs during that time. You need to run two heads of mission in December, for December cycle and for June cycle. You need to run two preparation programs in this time and that time. So that's how you start with those that you cannot run away from, that you must do, and you get to a number. Then you begin to target and see what are those skills that we need to really the game on and provide more training on, and then you make sure that every quarter or every other quarter you provide that particular training. So that's how you will arrive at a number, a particular number for the programs that you run, and that's certainly how we arrive at 22. So you made up of those training programs that you have, you must, they are accredited, and you're a key teacher, and you must do those training programs that are linked to the transfer cycles that you must deliver. Then a group of programs that we want to introduce because we see the gaps in terms of competency or there are new issues that are emerging that we need to cover. So that's how we arrive at it. And I would imagine that that's the same in HRD when they put their own targets.
I'm going to interject you because I don't know what comment Honorable Maida is going to make,
okay.
So that their questions, they can also be accommodated into your position. My work, so we project, when we're talking about targets, that is, you know, a soccer player with the target is, I'll score one goal a year. Concerning that particular issue. Must we say, as a committee, we failed to convince the department to build the penalty of parliament? Or what? That's just my issue. Okay.
everywhere else, but there is an issue around how do we tighten up and make sure that there's coordination across all sectors, DTI, defense, ourselves, and the private sector, to make sure that post-conflict reconstruction and development has a very clear identity and very clear strategy of how do we close from our peace mediation, our peace building, peace enforcement, and so forth. That's I think that's the gap that we will acknowledge internally.
Points. I think Ambassador has already dealt with the skills issue. Just to give a sense of some of the skills, what we tend to do is two levels. Remember, there's individual skills that individuals attain, we continue with those, it's part of their professional development. But when we look at all of their CVs, we identify those skills that appear, those requirements that appear in a number of them. For example, we do public finance management tax training. We do gender mainstreaming. Contract management, sexual harassment, project management, customer service. All of those will appear in a number of the PDCs of those individuals. Then we highlight them and we then provide training for them. The other part of why 23 and why not more than that, here we need to also accept that this is subject to budget. So we're going to do it within the fixed budget for the year and the number of employees that can go for that training. That's the generic training we provide for public. The second point I just want to touch on very quickly is, remember, there is an obligation on the department to manage the compensation of employees. And part of that exercise is allowing LRPs in a number of our missions to exist. And when they exist, in terms of local law and in terms of the prescripts of those countries, we need to pay pension arrangements, we need to pay other severance packages in a sense as they need. So that's the percentage of 136% and 320% that we need to correct. So as we pay that, remember we pay through transfers, which transfers to the missions to pay out to the individuals, the LRPs at that point. At the end of the year, we will then balance the book and do betterment in that regard. The advantage of that is not compensation budget. So we can move funds between our goods and services to address that. So before we close the books, we will move those funds to address. So that's in relation to the LRP. When Gigi mentioned it, he spoke about voluntary exits, not volunteers. We have no volunteers. So it's voluntary exits at LRP. I think the third point that I just want to touch on quickly is SATPOP. Just to give the chair some assurances, we are working very closely with National Treasury and DPSA to operationalize SATPOP. We've worked with internal OXLA, we've now drafted the Gazette, which is a consortium of National Treasury and DPSA to make sure that SAPA is operationalized very, very soon. The difficulty is we can't migrate ARF into SAPA because SAPA was constituted in terms of a piece of legislation which just never came into being. And we're then establishing SAPA as a government component, but providing the service to ARF. So we've come up with an arrangement that ensures there's a very close working relationship between ARF, SATPA, and the department going forward. I think those are the key issues from my side.
Before you step off, are you saying that the South African development has not yet been government's force, if you like, to which the secretariat will account, then of course the political principal is both the minister and the president, and they will direct the responsible international interest of the secretariat and all of those things. I'm saying that it's going to be the department and treasurer, I don't know who said what, but now what is the name?
You're raising an important point. Sorry, I cannot comment on whether we resuscitate it. government component was created in terms of that job.
Yeah.
And we're now sitting with an established government component that has been approved and gazetted by the Minister of Public Service and Administration. So we're operationalizing that entity, the government component. Whether the bill is going to progress to legislation, I think that's a different debate that has to take place at a later date. For now, we're saying in 2013, if I'm not mistaken, 2013, 2014, is when this government component was created, and it's been sitting. So we're now giving effect to the operationalization of that government component. I'm not talking about the bill moving towards legislation. Maybe the DG.
That will not happen. It is a different animal constituted in the manner that Mr. Kavenda is saying. Then you need to wish it so that you know what you are going to try.
Until such a bill has been tabled in Parliament, which changes the government of BAFTA. The committee was reminded that actually the Parliament made a presentation here in 2013 on BAFTA, that the bill in BAFTA has not passed. So the committee is still awaiting that, and even in there, if we check all the
Honorable Chair, honorable members, maybe not to belabor the point. The fact is that there was an attempt to have a bill called partnership of funds. an arrangement because the ARF is a statutory creature. Therefore, you can't wish it out. So we are noting that this is not shared. We then move on to ensure that rather let us operationalize that fund and use it as a mechanism to administer the ARF. The ARF, which is currently administered by a secretary. And the ARF Act does not provide for institutional mechanisms. So it's like the department tends itself as a secretary sort of for ARF. We can pass saying that the arrangement through his involvement was that we then had to gazette the SAFPA and the consultation has already been DPSA apparently has already agreed. We are waiting for Treasury. And our target is that should we Treasury come on board as from the 1st April, we'll operationalize that and use that for everything that will have an to deal with this partnership fund. And that's where we are. In the meantime, through legislation, we will see if we can make inroads because the circumstances of divergence have changed. I don't see any problem. It was one way, in consultation, after consultation. So that was the only thing that was making it difficult for the two ministries, let me put it that way, to agree on the modality of how we will when we migrate to this partnership fund bill, then Treasury will lose its authority to concur. Currently in ARS, when there is a project or something to be funded, the minister has to seek concurrence of the Minister of Finance. That's why you see how long it takes sometimes, because there will be questions, etc. So it's out of our control yet. We are accountable and nobody else is. So in short, that is the story about where we are with SACPA vis-a-vis the bill that was aimed at repealing the ARF and therefore enabling it to run on the SACPA.
Thinking and rethinking and reconceptualization of this outfit by Treasury and other departments. So in our necessary process, that's in what we have, which was presented to us, which has been running through from because from 2013, then of course that has been there from 2014 to now. Now, once the department together with other partners, it has made a reconceptualization, a rethink, and even in terms of the mandate, it will come to the committee then and say, you know, what used to be RF is now this animal, it is presented this way, its mandate will be this and this and this. I think then that it will not be confusing. And I'm reminded here by the kind of rethinking and rethinking around that. Reminded by what the former minister said when I was saying, you know, many ambassadors asked me, when is the white paper going to be an act of parliament? Said, no, it's going to remain a white paper, just like that. We don't want to make it an act of parliament and people want to tie us for the white paper on national influence. We don't want it to be an act of parliament and people stick want us to stick to what it is in the member office because national interest mutates from time to time. And she was right. And so is the Sala India. So Nesagba, if we're thinking with the hey, time there are other checks and balances, it could be that kind of thing. So let's pass it then. Proceed.
Thank you. two of the South North Corporation that were not approved. The one was the ATP EU meeting that was rescheduled for May in 2019. Then the BRICS IMC not achieved for the quarter was achieved an additional achievement for quarter two. That's only one achievement in global governance. With regards to the engagement with the diplomatic corps, this engagement took place with regards to all the diplomatic immunities and privileges that diplomats are given to diplomats, and it was with all the embassies in Pretoria. So it's not with a specific embassy or a specific country, it's just across all embassies. It's more of an awareness sort of engagement in terms of what is allowed in the country. Those are the three inputs that I have. Thank you, Chairperson. On the ARF, the issue of 300 million, just to take the committee back. Section 53 of the TSMA says the entity cannot keep its surpluses or whether it's a deficit without prior approval from Treasury. So on the 31st of March, as part of our financial presentation, the accounting officer must write to National Treasury declaring what is left and asking for approval. So what happened with the funds? We had surplus of 623 million. We applied to National Treasury to keep all that money and motivating how we're going to use it. And as part of the other issues, I'll be also addressing the issue of alignment between the department. In our consultation, we were together with the department, where the department was also presenting their shortfalls, asking for the money. However, the processes of the National Treasury do not allow for funds to be moved from ARF to the department. We must all declare the funds and get a response from National Treasury. So out of our 623, Treasury then responded and said they'll be taking back 300 million and we can keep the 323. So that's the TSMA requirement and has to be done annually. On the issue of 25 projects, there is a list and we can share it with the members if the requirement. There is a list stating all the projects. And the rollover, what happens is the ARF project is multi-year project. You get projects where it's one properly paid for elections, but you get projects that are multi-year. For example, the Namibia drought project, it runs over the years. So Treasury cannot take the funds because it is committed. So the funds that are committed, if we committed 100 million to a project, they cannot take the funds back. They can only take the funds back if we say we are rescinding the project, which is a project that it will be the same process that is followed when we get the current. Now we have to do the vice versa process. And saying Treasury, we are following this project because of this, and this, the funds are now available. That's only when they can take back the funds. The issue of forex loss. ARF is a Schedule 3A entity, so it reports according to the generally recognized accounting principles, which requires us, because practically this project in our financials is liabilities. So GRAP says that at the end of the financial year or when you are reporting, you need to restate your liabilities. So it, in simple terms, it's a non-cash item, but however, it needs to be disclosed. So if the rent is big, we need to adjust, like let's say on the other project is Malawi project, it's 12.5 million in US dollars. So at the end of the term, when we are reporting, we always have to go, how much is 12.5 in terms of the rent? And if the rent is big, that's where we find ourselves with the forex loss. However, there is a resolution by the advisory committee that all our projects are committed in rent. So it's only these two projects that are committed in US dollars. So now projects, if a project is 100 million this year, it will still be 100 million next year. So until these projects are closed or implemented, we'll always have to show the movement of the forex loss. And the tracking system, the ARF has moved away to just giving money to the government. So what happens is this ARF secretariat, we go, we undertake site visits. Everything that we pay, we have to see, and we need to come back and report to the advisory committee. In Namibia, if we are paying for 10 bottles, we actually have to go with the team and count the 10 bottles and the materials on site and sign off the payment certificate. Mm-hmm. And the payment is actually like for Namibia drought, the implementing agent is the rainwater. So So the payment is done through Torrens Water. In Sahara, with the money was not given to the government. It was given to the Red Crescent. So we undertook it to see how the funds will be used, and we verify it, and we have to report on it on a quarterly basis. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. I'll then go to the question that I have an answer. Some colleagues may have to come back. I just wanted to start with the related. On Ayora, there was a mention of the legacy internship program. I should just inform the meeting that this internship was established in honor of President Mandela, as he is the founder of Ayora. And it is only going to start on the 18th July 2019. And then our minister actually in her, as the chair of Council of Ministers, had actually informed the meeting then that South Africa will submit a request for the intake of our young people. So the African members, they are in our Indian Ocean Rim Association. Is a plurilateral structure made up of countries on the seaboard of the Indian Ocean. And we can simply mention a few. We are one, Mozambique East, Kenya East, Mauritius, Madagascar, Seychelles, Somalia, Comoros. These are on the seaboard of the Indian Ocean. And the minister, I think, has addressed the question. The decision of the AU, we will obviously have to later come to place the committee on the whole decision, because the colleagues only returned yesterday, I believe. But with regard to the, what do they call it, the free, what was it? The passport. The protocol on free movement was adopted last year, June. Once it is adopted, it gets signed. And most states, I believe, 32 signed. But as of now, I speak under correction. Only Rwanda has ratified it. And it needs 15 to come into force. So it will remain so until we would also ratify, which is your mandate, basically. So I would not be very authoritative in the answers for the current assembly, except just to mention those that are former. But all I know is that the assembly, among others, mandated the Hague Commission to, among others, provide technical support to member states in accelerating the implementation of the 0.2 levy, and also to facilitate the involvement of the Committee of Finance Ministers in the consideration of the annual audit report of the Union. It's one of the requirements that they should, countries have to understand that when they pay that, at least there is an auditable claim to ensure that this happens. As honorable members will note that this was occasioned by the fact that some countries do not meet their obligations, and we were always like, may not rush into the 0.2. More so that the 0.2, while it was agreed to at the assembly, however, it is a problem, because somewhere it has some problems with the WTO, because if you are going, in our case, our national revenue, but on the law says all monies that are going into the national revenue fund have to be appropriately, so you can't just say levies and then appropriate them somewhere. There are going to be challenges, of course, in our case. The other matter, perhaps, or maybe I will go back to
Sorry, Chairperson, just on that issue, the JGS said it's going to come back, and that's perfectly fine. But my specific question is about the financial implications for our country, especially in view of the fact that Somalia now, there's one of the decisions was to write off Somalia's debt. What is the implication in terms of now, will South Africa's portion increase? It's a very poor country. But when you come back, I would like to know all those decisions that were taken, whether it was the EU, the decisions that were taken, or establishing the security forces, what is the increase in South Africa's contribution and that. Thank you for that.
We would also, Honorable Member, we just have to indicate that if we have to migrate to 0.3, it's a big chance if we understand that South Africa is strategically, the levy will be so high, far but we'll work with National Treasury because there was a mechanism between us to just make a calculation. The other one, I was just going back to what the Honorable Chair referred to as what my predecessor once said, I was in that meeting, about soft power, yes, soft power in the context of, say, Development Partnership Fund, we contribute. Of course, the ARF Act just has strategic objectives that actually inform us what we are doing. For example, promotion of democracy and governance is part of the reason why we contribute. Contribution to human resource development, support for socioeconomic development and integration, provision of humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, support cooperation between South Africa and other countries, and to contribute to post-conflict reconstruction and development. If you may, we as South Africa view, we are not in the mood of handing up. We are in the mood of saying we want development partnership. Unlike those who use soft power to dominate or to micromanage. Yes. So, but that doesn't take away what the chair was very straightforward about. The truth of the matter is that there is no free lunch. And therefore, one of the modalities that the country should look into, and I was looking at an article in December, which interested me most, and I happen to have taken it out, it may not be plagiarism, that someone very educated spoke about us having to think the meaning of national interest with many other sectors which are currently at war with each other. So then the country has an vision like this, but the private sector or our business has a different way, or there's no synergy. And we need to correct that as this discourse of national interest needs to be taken higher. We need to take on board that as a country, we need to ensure that whatever we do on a state-to-state relation has to translate I have to say it openly today, in ensuring that it will also pave way for our other interests, such as our own economic imperatives, etc. And then if this is the case, we'll say our purpose is not to apply soft power for the sake of it, but it is also to say we want a better continent and we want a better world. As part of our contribution to that, in where we can do, we should do, in pursuit of this main objective, of a better and safe world. And if that could also bring spin-offs, then we need to ensure that the spin-offs are key to the relevant sectors of our economy. Then, having said that, I'll go to the reason of the taking mission.
People who you don't want to meet.
sure that we confront that hard issue deliberately. The benefits in South Africa, i.e. your, what do you call them, indigenous individuals, let me use that word, which then makes one government allocate funds to provinces and cities, it becomes skewed because there is this other service delivered that is not appreciated, doesn't reach the intended one, which ZSA calculates in terms of South Africans. But within this space, we can also take advantage of it. I'm thinking aloud, that's why I'm raising it. I don't want to deal with the politics, I just want to deal with it in terms of the resources. That are we not then, can't we then, when we assist them, but also say how best can we also deal with our domestic challenge that also our fiscal is being depleted every day. I don't want to make an exact, but it's very scary because even the tax revenue base is shrinking every day because of job opportunities which are shrinking as well. Let alone the business sector not coming to the fore in that sense. Thank you.
I think that was a fair comment. Maybe before I even go further, let me just explain the forest. The currencies I would have used are the nations which are mostly utilized. We had at the top US dollar, and the second was euro, and then the third was Swiss franc, and the fourth was Hong Kong dollar, and the fifth was Indian rupee, and the sixth was Taiwan dollar. And the other one was Saudi Riyal, and then the last one was UAE dollar. So these are the key currencies that are appearing there. And then, having said that, the matter of the 13 mission, in December, all our systems closed. That's our closing. So it's bars and others. If by any chance missions to other circumstances, which could also include elements of Nigeria, elements, I don't believe that power, may not reach the deadline. And people will tell you that South Africa closing is one of the two. From there, it is. No, I mean, that's why we are here. So for system integration and for reporting, what we report here as figures will only be those figures that were captured. And then the reason why we mention WhatsApp and you just explain to members why do you have 56% when if we're using what we call, projection, we'll say first quarter 25, second quarter 50, third quarter 75. So if you are 66, then you are, if you are using mechanical projection. So we then have, so that it is not looked at as underspending or whatever, we then have to explain what we know is going to add up, and maybe that's not a very true reflection of the reality. And hence when I mentioned the issue of human capital, I was just highlighting that, by the way, even if that expenses are it was just before our assumption of the non-permanent seat, and therefore the third quarter report may not be a very, very reliable projection in view of the fact part of it, the month is eaten out, where there is no activity. Even those who should have paid, you may not have paid the third quarter. The other one, it includes where you have the high percentage, which was politically mentioned. When you have a 360 or 136 percentage, it will obviously mean the payout. We agreed with Treasury on the approach to reduce the LRD fund. And they said, what do you want to do? We can assist you if we do. And then we started to identify the post, and then we started negotiations. The unfortunate fact is that these negotiations are concluded within a certain period, which may mean that you may have 0, 0, 0. But that 360, if you degenerate it, it will give you, it can even out.
accommodation. And then we are thinking that because we are not proceeding with the project, we have already spent, but which was disclosed as the regular expenditure for New York even before we started, which will be handled in a different manner. But the money that was had to go there, among others, could be committed to doing some of the work in Namibia where we can move people out of current rentals into rehabilitatable houses that we can, among others, so that we may have commitments that should not then mean that that saving as a result of abandonment does not lead us with us having to surrender money, not because we want to dump, but it is a reality that it is still capital surplus, but which were occasioned by the fact that it has been seen like this, and now we can attempt to do some, while others will be advised by the engineers and whatever, so that they are able to be done there. And then the last one, I believe, I was thinking the other, the last one was, does the president budget use for some of the expenditure? Our main client as a department is the president. So whatever involves the president on international and other related work or incoming is done by them. The presidency will take care of its own internal issues. So as you pass budgets,
yes,
you are actually passing budgets that we should utilize to service the president, because the Ministry of International Relations is the main client of the Ministry of Foreign International Relations is the president. So that's why we have to take care of all the other things. Membership contribution. Where is the VAT? We only mention those that we have not yet contributed to as the outstanding, so that I should believe, I didn't really check. I might be speaking under correction, but for the fact that we did not mention it here, it could mean that we have already paid. But all the membership due from any international organization are paid from program funds. And then when I take off my CFO position, I'll go and verify the fact if indeed it is so. I should stop here unless I'm leaving a very important question which one of my colleagues can then say. Contribute to the legacy report in that way. Because before I step down, I was going to claim occupational. This chair I'm sitting on.
It's
just occupational
hazard.
Yes, because the chair is not really doing anything. I have to stand like this on attention. Thank you.
They were coming.
those countries that are interested in tourism and have something to contribute towards the culminating that model that we want for tourism. What will happen, say, is that if there's five countries or different countries, then there will be a specific convener of that particular core group. If it's a core group on women and involvement of women, again, there'll be countries that are in that core group, and then there will be a country that convenes that particular core group. And your other question was around the lack of achievement in terms of Chamber of Commerce. I thought we will respond on that, but indeed it's one of these challenges that we have. I think Didi or Shalima, if you want to comment on the fact that we didn't meet the target in terms of Chamber of Commerce engagement in different countries. So Shalima can talk to that.
To the Chamber of Commerce, we have to also make reference to the planning framework, planning and reporting framework that we have in place. We have 90 days after the end of the quarter to do validation, and we are hoping that we are still going to get some of these reports from relations to increase that. However, we have to date on our annual progress in terms of the annual target. We are 65% complete already, so we can achieve the last 35% in the fourth quarter. So that's where we are in terms of the annual target for Chamber of Commerce. Sorry, apologies for that. With regards to the engagement with the Chambers of Commerce, we have to date, in terms of our annual target, we've achieved 65%. So we have left 35%, which we will achieve in the fourth quarter. Like DG has mentioned, during the third quarter, we have challenges at mission with regards to mission transferred officials. So in December, we have a cycle of change, and that probably would have contributed to our underreporting during the third quarter.
But let me just give my context of the question and the advice. The department has to engage chambers of commerce in strategic towns. It is a task, in my view, that must be led by the ambassador in that country. And if the ambassador is of the view that there are lucrative business and trade opportunities in that country, for South Africa, then he or she, the ambassador, must confer maybe through the minister, the minister of trade and industry, and the minister of economic development, and minister of small business, you see, that here in Paris, or that here in New York, or that here, and I'm trying to stick to towns and not the countries, you see, that here in Harare, there are the following things that South African business people, that here in Kinshasa, there are the following things that are business opportunities for South Africans. Then the Ministry of Economic Development in South Africa, your Patel, you see, it's not a Sisulu, and your Davis is not a Sisulu, and your Lindiwe Zulu is not a Sisulu. Now all of them then come in and look at what the ambassador is recommending, and then they deal with that, then they bring in business partners. That's the context in which I was talking about this. And I'm not, because I don't want to say other ambassadors don't do that, but there are two ambassadors that when we visited Zimbabwe, Ambassador Mbeki actually dedicated 80% of his briefing to because we were there as SADC parliamentary forum, but the speaker and then other South Africans then who visited him. Speaking speaking about business opportunities in Zimbabwe for South Africa, and why it must be South Africa that can come on board, because the Western countries, you know, out of the policies of the country, etc. He actually went to town. The other one is in Canada, Ambassador to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Youngish.
Mm-hmm.
And this one? He also made a very good presentation, mainly about some South African companies that are already having playing a role in Bastogne and other things. Then why South Africa could come in and support the country. And the argument there, killing after we've had the political leadership, must check with it, what it is that we can play in the So that's the that was the context of the question and the context of the comment, Ms. Musa. So my recommendation is that it must be looked at by these departments.
What we'll see at the end of the financial year will make us feel proud that we have been doing our oversight roles very active and alive. Noting the last year's report, not only on financial, but also on targets that we have I just want to get a sense of comfort, because it's not also contributing our legacy report to see. The very last one, emergency funding is needed, we respond to that, notwithstanding the delays that have been said, to say how do we improve on that moving forward, because it can come very late than early. So I'm saying that probably also we advise in our discussions with Treasury to say it should add value than like post thing that is not even get appreciated by the countries of the world. Something along.
I don't know if I got the first question right. If it is what I heard, we are likely to meet most of our targets. And with regard to finance, we had a very better interim audit report, something that we have missed before, because we never had whatever happened in the interim was sustained through and at the end of the day we will not avoid qualification. If we were to be if the interim was the final, we would say we would have had a much improved outcome. However, the final audit is just online now, and we hope that we will sustain what we did. This emanated from your probing and our insight and the oversight into whatever we do and asking us, that we managed to develop a way of coming out of this. And I must indicate that most of the targets that we do not necessarily, not noticed in hindsight that when we go to the sixth administration, of course we have to indicate that the current targeting was the first that we did as a department somehow. We need to improve some of the targeting to ensure that we don't just necessarily make them easy, but we